We'd like to continue with the line of thought that the Lord has given us on how to distinguish between the true church and the false church, the true doctrine and the false doctrine. Amen? There are many things in the church of God that clearly define us as the true church of God. And there are many things in the sects and denominations that clearly define them as a sect, as false doctrine. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go over to, praise the Lord, the Gospel of John 12, verse 47. Jesus speaking here, our Lord and Savior. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world.
Amen.
48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It seems to me that if we really do believe that the word that Jesus has spoken is going to judge us in the last day, what should we be occupying our time with? The television, the radio, the computer, the internet, with our friends, gossiping on the phone? Is that what's going to judge us? Are we going to stand before Hollywood and have the Hollywood judge us on the judgment day? If that's what you're spending your time on, you're spending your time on the wrong thing.
Amen.
Because what the thing that is going to judge you is what? Point to it, saints. Where is it? It's the Bible right here.
Amen.
How much time are you spending with the Word of God? It's this Word that will judge you. Wake up, saints.
Amen.
Start reading the Word of God.
Right.
Start studying it. This is what's going to judge you. Do you believe it? Do you comprehend?
Yes.
Can you grasp it? This is what's going to judge you. Please do not neglect your personal time with the Lord, reading the Word of God. This is what's going to judge you, saints.
Amen.
What if you pass away tomorrow? Have you been spending your time reading the Word of God? This is what's going to judge you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord help us, saints. The epistle, the second epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 9. Whomsoever transgresseth and abideth not in the satellite movies hath not God. Is that what it says? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. What does abide mean? Be in it, remain in it, swim in it, live in it, sleep in it. Amen? Think about it. Meditate on it. Do it.
That's right.
Fulfill it.
Amen.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, does not dwell in, does not do it, does not think about it, does not, it's not their all. In the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any among you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine, saints? The doctrine of the Presbyterians? The doctrine of the Baptists? The doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventists?
Word of God.
The Word of God. The doctrine. Doctrine means teaching.
Yes.
Doctrine means teaching. The teachings of Christ. Where do we find the teachings of Christ? In the Bible.
Yes.
Where are they taught? In the services.
That's right.
In the services of God's people, the worship services. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, praise the Lord, receive him not into your home, your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If you receive him in and say, oh yeah, come in and teach me. I want to learn more about what you're teaching and I want to give you an offering and I really appreciate you. Do you understand? We don't need to do that if this doctrine is not being brought.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Ephesians 4:14. I read this the other night. We'll read it again. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or every wind of teaching by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. We've mentioned the tumbleweeds that when they're green, they're attached with roots. When they dry up and the wind comes, they become detached and they just roll around. If the wind blows to the east, they go to the east. If the wind blows to the west, they go to the west. They have no firm standing. They have not one thing, not one purpose. They're just going in whichever way the wind is blowing.
Amen.
The wind is compared to teachings of men, ideas, philosophies,
yes.
Doctrines of men, creeds of men.
Amen.
We understand, right?
Yes.
We don't want somebody to come along and to change our mind and then go in that direction. One day we're faithful, standing true on the firm foundation, Christ, what the Church of God teaches. The next day we're over there meeting with somebody else. That teaches another doctrine. That's the Lord does not want us to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
And then we go there and they're waiting there to deceive us. Why are they going to deceive us? Because we sit there and we don't open the Bible. What if I'm here to deceive you this evening? Are you sure I'm not deceiving you? Are you opening the Word of God? Are you studying it? Did you come here with a purpose to really study the Word of God, to read and learn? Or are you just going to sit here and wander off somewhere else?
Yes.
I hope you have your Bible open tonight. This was going to judge you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Open it up. Follow
Amen.
Along. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us, saints. May we wake up.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers... Whose ministers? Oh, I thought if it was a minister, it's okay. It doesn't matter who it is. No, there are ministers that are not okay. And there are ministers of the devil. And there are many of them. And they're found in many of the denominations today. Denomination means churches of today. Amen? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Amazing. I once read a story about a man that he was a man of many masks, and he would study how to fly an airplane, and he'd get on that airplane and present all the diploma and all the studies that you were supposed to have, the training as a pilot, and he'd get on that pilot. And somehow he'd shift over to the other men to do the piloting. He'd act like he was the boss. And he'd get paid. He'd stay there a couple of months and never did fly the airplane exactly. But he was there directing. He'd pretend he was a doctor and he'd go in and do surgeries. But he wasn't real steady. But he'd let the nurses do most of the work and he'd get paid for it. And then he'd go on to something else. He was deceitful. He appeared to be a doctor. He seemed to have all the credentials. He presented his diploma and his studies and everything that you needed. Appeared with the uniform and everything. And people believed him because he was so convincing in what he was saying. And so convincing in how he was acting.
Yeah.
Do you know that that's the way the ministers of the devil are, of Satan?
Yeah.
They're very convincing. They have studies of the Word of God.
Yes.
But they've twisted a little bit and added a little bit and taken away a little bit.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's be careful, saints.
Amen.
Not just because it sounds convincing. You check the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen? Praise the Lord. It is the Word of God that's going to judge us on the last day.
Yes.
We're going to cover some points tonight that distinguish the Church of God from a false church. It makes it the real Church of God. Things that we are doing that make it be the real Church of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go, praise the Lord, to John 10. Let's see if we can pick out one word or two words here. It's going to appear three times, I think, the word. It jumps out. I want you all to say it, saints. What is that word? John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. What word stands out to you in those verses? Hireling. Do we know what a hireling is? The word H-I-R-E is there. What does it mean to hire? You've been hired by somebody, employed, and you're getting a payment for it. Is Jesus telling us that the true shepherds are paid to do what they do? Or is he telling us not, saints? Which one is it? He's telling us that the true shepherds or the true ministers are not paid for what they do. Amen? Do you know that the majority of the denominations today, that they are paid a salary, the ministers? Amen? But how are the ministers of the Church of God? How do they work? They go by faith. They live off of the offerings of God's people, but they don't get a fixed income. Do they? I hope not. Amen? Praise the Lord. I live by faith. I don't get any income from man. Mine comes from the Lord. He might use the saints to do it, but it comes from the Lord. Amen? Hireling. One thing that has always distinguished, made a difference between the true church and the false church from the very beginning, even in the 1880s when D.S. Warner and other ministers rose up, the Lord lifted them up again. They brought preaching all the word of God, that strong, powerful light again. The two witnesses resurrected again to life. Amen? Amen. The word and the spirit. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
One distinguishing mark was that they did not get paid for what they were doing.
Amen.
They did it willingly,
praise
voluntarily. And it continues that way until today.
Yes.
That is one way you can tell if your minister is false or not. Is he getting paid for what he's doing? Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Second epistle of Peter. Second epistle of Peter. Chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And he goes on to speak about what he is going to do to these people that are not obeying the word of God. Do you know that there are ministers that make merchandise of people? Amen? With the tithing? Imagine having a congregation of 20,000 people and they each give 10%. Are you poor? You're very wealthy. Amen. They are making merchandise of congregations. They want more numbers because every time, cling, 10% more comes in the door. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's servants don't work that way.
Amen.
We work by love. We're impelled by love. I'll go again. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how you can tell if your minister is false or not. Is he making merchandise of the people? Is he telling them you must give 10%? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Ephesians. Praise the Lord. No, excuse me, saints. One second. I got off track here. Let's go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, 14, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. Who can read verses 15 and 16 for me, please?
And when he had made a scourge, a small corpse, he drove them all out of the temple.
And his sheep and the oxen,
and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise.
Merchandise is what they have in stores at Walmart. They sell radios and they sell shoes. That's merchandise. And the Bible is saying that there are deceitful men that will make merchandise of you. They'll use you to make money off of you.
Yes.
People that are doing that are not the true church of God.
That's right.
They're of the devil.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. They're Judasites. Judas that betrayed Jesus for money.
Amen.
Are you a Judasite? I hope not. Amen. I'm not. I'm doing what I'm doing voluntarily. Nobody's pushing me. Nobody's forcing me. I'm doing it out of love.
Amen.
You couldn't pay me enough to be preaching in Juarez, Mexico, where they could have shot me 3 years in a row because it was the most dangerous city in the whole world. The drug cartel had taken over. You couldn't have paid me enough to go preach over there. Nobody did. The Lord moved me by His Holy Spirit and continues to, and that's why I'm there. Amen. I'm not looking for money. Praise the Lord. I'm not looking to make merchandise out of anybody. How did Jesus feel about these people that were in God's house and selling the sacrifices for money and exchanging the money that these people would come from other countries to worship the Lord on the Passover and at other times? They'd bring their money and they'd have to exchange it there. And maybe they charge them a certain percentage to exchange their money and they made profit off of it. Amen. Or they bring their money because they couldn't bring the cattle from a long distance, and then they purchase the sheep there or the oxen and then sacrifice it to the Lord, and they charge him a certain percentage off of it. Was Jesus happy about that? He was not.
Amen.
Do you know that there are many congregations today, many inside of many church buildings, that they have coffee shops and donut shops and Bible books and all kinds of books that are written, and they sell them? They're making merchandise out of God's word. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
In God's house, we do not do that. I might go sell burritos out there, but not in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
I might sell shoes out there, but not in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't want to make merchandise anybody out of anybody.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord help us. Jesus got angry and he cast them all out, overthrew the tables and got the whip. I can just picture him hitting the men and the sheep. And they're running out, saying, "Who is this man?" Amen. If Jesus came today, I think he'd come with a whip again and enter many congregations and whip them all out. They'd all go running out. Amen. And they wonder, who is this man? They probably wouldn't even recognize him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us. Praise the Lord. Thanks be unto the Lord. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 14, this whole chapter is speaking about offerings, those that gave willingly, and how the minister lives off of the offerings. Amen. How when somebody goes to war, they don't pay for it. The government prays for it, and the people go, and they're taken care of. Their food is sent. Their clothing is sent. The soldiers, they don't pay to go out to war. We as God's ministers don't pay our own way to go out to make war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The government that rests on Jesus' shoulder takes care of the cost. Amen? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9, 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But it's very different than these ministers that are living in a way that they're demanding the money. God's ministers by faith wait.
Amen.
That God move the people to give. We're not begging. We're not using certain schemes to get you to give. I visited congregations where they say, "We're going to compete. Let's see who can give $100. The ones that can give $100 are going to be in a higher category. And then they put in another higher category. Those that give $500 are in another higher category. And then the $1,000 givers will be more highly esteemed." I've heard it. And they all divide, and this group comes forward and gives the 100, and then the other group gives them the 500, and the last group is the 1,000, and they get more honor. That's horrible. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When you give alms, do it in secret. And your Father that sees it in secret shall reward you openly."
Amen.
Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9:18 now. Praise the Lord. "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ," what, saints?
Without
charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. There are many ministers today that are abusing their power in the gospel. They're abusing people. They're making them feel that if you don't give your 10%, if you don't give your offering, God's not going to accept you in heaven. That's not true. We are saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, not by tithing and faith.
Amen.
Not by offering and
that's
faith.
Right.
We're
right.
Saved solely by grace through faith in Christ.
Amen.
There will be works that will flow out, for we have been created unto good works, but that doesn't bring salvation.
That's right.
You have a minister telling you that if you don't give money, you're not going to be saved, he's a liar.
Amen.
If you have a minister telling you that you're going to go to hell if you don't give money, he's a liar.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Paul, praise the Lord. If there was anybody, saints, that deserved to be on a salary, wasn't that Paul the Apostle? Amen. Wasn't it Paul the Apostle? Amen. Many mighty signs and wonders, so many books that he wrote, he was used mightily and powerfully in the beginning. If anybody, I think, deserved it, it was him. But he was the most humble.
Amen.
Many times he used wages from other churches than to ask for where he was laboring. He wasn't robbing it, but I mean he was receiving help from other congregations, not from where he was. Maybe they didn't feel a need to give. Maybe they were too poor. I don't know. But he didn't ask the congregation where he's at to give.
He even worked with his own hands.
He worked with his own hands instead of to be a charge to them.
Right.
Amen. Do you know, I'm not boasting here, but I want you to know. Do you know that not one time have we taken an offering up in our congregation in Juarez, Mexico? I've been preaching there 7 years. Not one time have I asked anybody for money. Not one time have I asked for tithing. I want you to know that my motive is not money. You go ask them, call them and see if I've ever taken up an offering. They're going to say no, then he never has. On the contrary, he's helped us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Am I condemning anybody for taking up an offering? No, but may it be willingly. May it not be coerced. May it not be a guilt trip. May it be willingly.
Amen.
And you don't have to come up here and give it openly. You can give it in the hand to the pastor. Amen. That's more private. In fact, that might be more in keeping with what it says in Matthew 6. Let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good and faithful. Malachi. We just showed that a hireling that has been hired to preach the word of God is not true. Jesus said it. He has other motives.